to invite Rachel, the daughter, now to come as well.
Thank you all for being here. I printed out an obituary I wrote yesterday, so maybe some of you have read it, but I'm going to read it now. Ellen Simon Kotkin was born to Albert A. Simon and Rose Rosenberg Simon on November 19, 1940, in Oakland, California. She was the youngest of three, following her older brothers Harry and Ronald. Her mother passed away from cancer when Ellen was just 3 years old, and Ellen was in the care of other family members while her father struggled to recover from the loss. Albert eventually remarried to a woman whose name was also Rose, and they had a child together, Jackie, who's here today. Ellen then became a big sister at 8 years of age. Ellen's father, Albert, had immigrated to Oakland as a young child, making Ellen and her siblings first-generation American Jews in the Bay Area. Her extended family members were involved in establishing and contributing to the Jewish community in Oakland. And while Ellen's family did not retain a traditional religious lifestyle, she had exposure to Jewish tradition from her paternal grandmother, Emma, who spoke Yiddish and Hungarian, giving her the Yiddish name Elka. As Ellen grew up, she enjoyed playing in the creek near her home with her best friends, Marcia and Pat, being involved in Campfire Girls, babysitting her cousins, and exploring the city. When she reached 18 years of age, she moved out of her childhood home and started working immediately, living in San Francisco and Oakland. She lived in a boarding house in Oakland where she met and made a good friend named Gemma. Later in life, Gemma would set up Ellen with Fred Kotkin. Ellen continued to work and save money. Her friend Gemma married and moved to an army base in France where they worked as school teachers. Ellen decided to travel to France and Europe and explored Europe for 6 months in her early 20s, traveling to Greece, Italy, Switzerland, and more. Ellen eventually returned to California and met Mark Mazur and married. They had a son, Jonathan, and Ellen moved to Point Reyes, California in Marin County, where she resided for almost 20 years. Ellen became a single mother when Jonathan was two, and while life was difficult, she loved being in the countryside of Northern California. She remained close to her brothers, seeing them and her nieces, Rochelle is here, and nephew often. It was the 60s, so Ellen made friends with artists and musicians in the area. She took many odd jobs to make ends meet, such as house cleaning, hairdressing, and learning how to weld jewelry, and I'm wearing one of her necklaces. As Ellen raised Jonathan on her own, she wanted to gain more stability and decided to enroll in Napa Valley College to earn a BSN in nursing. This was a significant accomplishment for her to fulfill as a single parent, and her family was extremely proud. She treated patients during the AIDS epidemic and started a career as an RN at Kaiser Permanente hospitals in the region. Ellen was drawn to making another life change in her early 40s when she met and married Fred Kotkin. They lived in San Jose, California, and while her son, Jonathan, remained in Point Reyes as a young adult. Fred and Ellen had their daughter, Rachel, soon after, when Ellen was just a couple months shy of 45 and Fred was 53. Fred and Ellen were interested in observing a traditional religious Jewish life, one they had not grown up with, but wanted to raise their daughter in. They rediscovered Jewish practice over the years and gradually integrated more observance, sending Rachel to Jewish day schools and enjoying the rituals of each Jewish holiday. In December of 1993, Ellen's beloved son, Jonathan, died tragically of epilepsy. He was 28 years old. This was a big loss for Ellen, which she carried for the rest of her life. It was not long after that Ellen, Fred, and Rachel moved to Seattle, Washington to start an observant Jewish life in the Seward Park community. Ellen continued to work as a nurse in Seattle and did not retire until 70 years of age. Life in Seattle was an adjustment for Ellen. She missed sunny California, but found comfort in the Jewish community, happily baking with the ladies' auxiliary and preparing for the Purim Bazaar at Ezra Becerit. Though shy at times, Ellen made friends easily. She had a gentle voice and nature, a silly side, a good sense of humor, and a stubborn edge that created a rock-solid work ethic. Ellen was tough, yet soft. She was a mother who gave every opportunity to her daughter with no shortage of love, and enjoyed having her daughter's friends in the house, which meant playing the role of maid Beatrice for Rachel's all-girls tea parties. After Ellen's husband, Fred, passed away in 2008, she navigated her life as a widow with grace, acquiring dogs, first a shepherd named Bailey, and then the infamous Queenie, going out to the movies with neighbors and staying active in the Jewish community. In 2018, Ellen was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and life changed once again. Soon after, her daughter Rachel moved back to Seattle to help as a caretaker. Ellen's condition then quickly worsened, and needing more care, she moved to Fredland Manor in 2019, then eventually to Kleingallen Home in 2022. However, in spite of her debilitating disease, Ellen continued to retain her strong spirit with moments of lucidity. She could recall long-term memories, relay funny observations, and recognize old friends. Until the end, she always recognized her daughter's presence in one way or another, which provided a source of constant comfort and peace for her. Ellen's special spirit has touched many here today, and her good nature, kindness, and talent for helping others will be remembered by many.
Very inspiring lecture, and so many things I didn't know about Mom, but at the same time, I could tell her qualities and what she represented. You know, she had an objective to become a nurse. I think what she became as a nurse, it defined her character and her personality and what she really was as a wonderful person who wanted to heal everybody and do good for everyone. That was Mom. That was what we knew in Seward Park. That was what we met. And that what we appreciated, why she made so many, many friends. And it was so nice to see so many of the ladies. You, Rachel, you are an offshoot of that quality that you have with you. And all your friends recognize, and that's why they always love to be with you in whatever moment it is in your life, Rachel. We have come today to bid farewell and to pay a lasting tribute to our beloved friend, Ellen Kotkin. I am going to be, even many times, mentioning again things that you mentioned, but I'm not going to do everything that I was thinking about your mom. So even if I really go over and repeat a few things, you will forgive me. But it will be worth repeating. She was a woman, a lady who was loved and respected by everyone who came into contact with her and knew her. Ellen was born in Oakland, California, November 19, 1940, and survived by her brother Ron Simon, her sister Jackie Simon, who is attending the funeral today, as well as their daughter, Rachel. Ellen had a son, Jonathan Mason, from her first marriage. He passed away at the age of 28 in 1993, as it was mentioned. And this is where I'm reading it. All the information that had from you, Rachel. Ellen had a nearly 40-year career as a nurse, working in hospital and nursing home. She retired at 70 years old. Ellen later married Fred Cotton. In September 20, 1985, Rachel Cotton was born. He was a couple months shy of 45, and Fred was 53. Ellen kept in touch with the relatives and old friend, often by phone and letter writing. She enjoyed spending time, like she mentioned, baking with the ladies auxiliary at the Dravetsarot. And Ellen loved having Rachel friends over and creating an atmosphere of laughter, food and fun. Now, my wife was very close with your mom, with Ellen, and she couldn't be here today, but she made sure that her representative is here, that's why Natasha is here. She was a very good friend of yours. She was a soft-spoken man, gentle person, that's what I remember so much, with a good sense of humor and was always interested in learning new things and helping others. She enjoyed gardening, poetry, and listening to a wide range of music, especially opera and classic rock from her era of the 1960s. You and I like to listen to that to myself. And her love of music also spilled into singing. She was a member of a local song circle group with a neighbor friend. And you know where she was from 2019, life change. This is a short obituary for me, to her. But to do justice to her, to describe her, she was unique and the world of her own. And she was a mini-universe, if I want to describe Mom. There was only one Ellen. I would like to read to you sort of a midrashic story. It is not from the Midrash, but then it ought to be. It is worthy of Midrash because in this story I see Ellen. It is not simple to describe her. There were so many sides to her life in her simplicity. She built her own style of her universe where she included everyone else to pick and enjoy. A little boy asked his mother, "Why are you crying?" "And because I am a woman," she told me. "I don't understand," he said. So his mom just hugged him and said, "And you never will." Later, the little boy asked his father, "Why does mother seem to cry for no reason?" All women cry for no reason, Lord always, but people say. The little boy grew up and became a man, and still wondering why women cry. Finally, he prayed. And perhaps he put a phone call to God. When he felt God, got a telephone answer, and he asked God, "Why do women cry so easily?" God said, "When I made the woman, she had to be special, like Ellen. I made her shoulders strong enough to carry the weight of the world, yet gentle enough to give comfort. I gave her an inner strength to endure childbirth and the rejection or loss that many times comes from her children, from her situation. I gave her a hardness that allows her to keep going when everyone else gives up and take care of her family through sickness and fatigue without complaining. I gave her the sensitivity to love her children under any and all circumstances, even when her child might have hurt her very badly, no matter what. I gave her strength to carry her husband through his faults and fashion her from his rib to protect his heart. I gave her wisdom to know that a good husband never hurt his wife, but sometimes test her strength and her resolve to stand beside him unfalteringly. And finally, I gave her a tear to shed. And this is her exclusively to use whenever it is needed. That tear holds more than men could understand. If a man were to shed her tear, it would too, and he would look enormous. For a woman's tear is full of unconditional love, power, sacrifice, beauty, pain, and compassion. All tenfold what a man is able to feel. And that, my son, is why I made her as close to being supernatural as possible. She is my gift to the world. She is an angel on earth. Love her and praise her, for there will be no other here on earth that will love you like I do than your mother. And there are so many things that I created in this incredible world, and all of them are in numbers many. Many flowers, many sunsets, many everything, days, weeks, years. But there is only one mother. You see, my son, said God, the beauty of a woman is not in the clothes she wears, or the figure that she carries, the way she combs her hair. The beauty of a woman must be seen in her eyes, because that is the doorway to her heart, the place where love resides. Our rabbis teach us that the person continues to live on in the memories of those who knew him or her. Though a person may have physically passed from the world, as long as there are people whose lives have been touched by his or her life, she continues to live on beyond the grave. Family, friend, neighbor, in reviewing the event of a lifetime, they don't always remember everything, but they choose from the multitude of memories of a person's lives, whether it is her career, her nursing, her association with others, those memories that have continuing meaning for them. It is this memory that remain a living influence in their life. Those who have known Ellen have many and varied memories of the year that they spent together with Ellen. These memories have helped them to form their pattern of values and have given them a perspective on the world which will continue to influence and shape their lives in the years ahead. As in the story, so was with Ellen. God made her shoulders strong enough to carry the weight of the world, yet gentle enough to give comfort. He gave her that inner strength to endure childbirth and the natural rejection that many times comes from losing a son at the age of 28. And not having her children nearby, God also gave her a hardness that allows her to keep going when everyone else gives up, and take care of her family through sickness and fatigue without complaining. That is how Ellen was dedicated to her family, to her husband, Fred. And I remember those times when it was very difficult for him, and she took care whether he's going to the hospital and to do the right thing that they needed to do. I remember those things, because that was Ellen. I loved Ellen because of that. That is how Ellen was dedicated to her family. He gave her the sensitivity to love her child under any and all circumstances, even when her child is far away and it hurts her very badly. But you know, thank God you came back. He gave her strength to carry her husband Fred through his difficult moment. Hashem gave her that wisdom to know that a good husband never hurt his wife, but sometimes tests her strength and her resolve to stand beside him unfalteringly. Especially when he became it. She was a real partner and finally gave her that tear to shed. This was hers exclusively, and she used it many times in her prayers whenever it was needed. That was mom. That tear holds more than men could understand. If a man was to shed a tear, it would look enormous. Her tear was full of unconditional love, power, sacrifice, beauty, pain, and compassion. And she combined all these attributes, all them for what any man is able to feel. She was close, as close to being supernatural as possible. Ellen was a gift to the world, all right. To us, to our community, to her husband Fred, of blessed memory, to her son of blessed memory, Jonathan, to her daughter Rachel and entire family. And she was an angel on earth. That's why. Love her and praise her, for there will be no other here on earth that will love you like God does, than mom. God said the beauty of a woman is not in her clothes she wears, the figure that she carries, or the way she combs her hair. The beauty of a woman must be seen in her eyes, because that is the doorway to her heart, the place where love resides. Ellen saw beauty everywhere and in everything. My wife always used to tell me that about Ellen. She was so special, so unique, so loving and so caring about everybody else. She was a very gentle, engaging personality. A people's person, always wanting to interact with friends and always making new friends. She was a very loyal friend and family member. Judaism teaches us that although a person died and is buried, she is in truth not dead. She lives on in the hearts and soul of all those whose life she had touched. She was a warm, sincere, generous human being. Judaism teaches that, we are all part of a timeless enterprise, and that memory is the link that binds a generation into one continued chain of life. I wrote something for Ellen that she understood. What is really the essence of life? Life is but a stopping place, a pause into the future, in what is to be, a resting place along the path to a delightful eternity. We all have different journeys, different paths along the way. We all were meant to learn something during our lifetime, but never meant to stay. Our destination is a place far greater than we know. For some, the journey is quicker. For some, the journey is slow. And when the journey finally ends, and we have served God and others at our expense, we will claim a great recompense. We find an everlasting peace and the Shekhinah, in God's wings. May our soul be bound up in the bond of life eternal. Now if I ask you to rise, I'm going to make you a Shabbat.